Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In this week's program, I'd like to again discuss Marxism versus Christianity, so that God's people, the church, the Christian community is not deceived by the ideology and promises. Marxism, socialism, communism, it's all the same thing. And it's again on the rise in America with the DSA party, the Democrat Socialist Party, winning the office of mayor in New York City, and then winning at least 8 Democrat primaries for Congress, along with seats in state legislatures. The DSA is a separate communist party from the Democrat Party, but DSA candidates have been able to run as Democrats, winning and taking seats from Democrat Party supported candidates. Even the Democrat strategist James Carville admitted that the Democrats have a DSA problem, which may cost them many votes with the older Democrats. The political platform of the DSA includes a new constitution, eliminating the Senate, replacing the office of president and the Supreme Court justices with leaders picked by Congress, a new Politburo, as in communist countries, eliminating ICE and opening the borders to allow for more communist sympathizers to enter the U.S. electorate, to allow everyone residing in the USA to vote, citizen or non-citizen, eliminating prisons, and putting all large corporations under government ownership. This is pure communism. But the DSA calls themselves socialist because the communist label is unpopular, but their ideology and their positions are communist. Even Lenin himself called himself a socialist, seeing socialism as a transitional phase to get to communism. The Democrat Socialist Party had its founding in 1901 by Eugene Debs. He ran for president 6 times and received only 6% of the American vote. Communism was new, and these were the early 20th century progressives. Communism was promising a new utopia of justice and fairness, and had yet to show its violence and failure. But Americans with a Christian worldview and an emphasis on constitutional freedoms didn't fall for communism. However, it can be argued that America did adopt many communist policies, which account for many of the troubles America is experiencing today in education, in healthcare, in national debt, and taxes. The problems in America didn't stem from American capitalism, but that she wasn't capitalistic enough. The socialists implemented their failed programs in America, and then turned around and blamed capitalism for the problems they created through socialism. But that's a whole other program. Anyway, America was able to fend off the communist threat and then spent the rest of the 20th century fighting off the spread of communism in the world. The United States would support the White Army in Russia, fighting the Red Communist Army. We fought off communism in our hemisphere, cutting off trade and travel to Cuba. And America was serious about opposition to communism. It's really no coincidence that communism takes the position of atheism and it persecutes the church wherever it's adopted. History shows that Marxism, though claiming to be a workers' paradise, was actually responsible for the death of at least 80 million people in the world in the 20th century. And it impoverished many others. Karl Marx was wrong about everything. And yet here we are again with a new generation being infatuated with socialist communism. And that's what the church is facing and what needs to be explained and defined and dismantled constantly to every new generation. Communism seems to be the default position of the unsaved heart and the unsaved. freedom and liberty are the default positions of Christianity. And the more pagan a people become, the less free they become, and the more prone they are to love and embrace totalitarianism. The more Christian a people become, the more free they become, and the less prone they are to totalitarianism and oppressive government. In the words of John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And a moral and religious people get human rights and freedom. And an immoral and non-religious people, atheists, naturally and inevitably get communism. And it's a mistake to expect America to maintain political and economic freedom if America becomes Sodom and Gomorrah. The political system will always follow the people's moral religious worldview. So that what we're seeing in America and the rise of Marxism is really directly related to the secularization of America. A nation in opposition to Christ will embrace an antichrist agenda. As Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. So if the people don't receive Jesus, they will receive an antichrist like Karl Marx. And this is the alternative and the inevitable outcome that the Christian community needs to explain to the public. Now, someone might ask, why does an exposé of communism have to be addressed here? What does that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is Christian media. Why are you talking about political and economic theories? Well, because the word gospel means good news. And faith and repentance in Christ is the good news that makes for salvation in this life and the life to come. Communism is essentially a false good news, that justice and utopia can be achieved by a powerful government and government overlords redistributing everyone's wealth and controlling all housing and work. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you, who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man preach to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. So in sharing the good news of Christ, we must also explain what is the alternative, alleged, false good news. And the best way to explain what something is also to explain what it's not. Communism is essentially the religion of John Lennon's song, Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country. Imagine all the people living in peace. Imagine no possessions. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. Well, that would be the worst world to live in. Everyone living for today rather than for tomorrow. As in the words of the Russian novelist Dostoevsky, without God, everything is permitted. Theft, rape, murder. You know, communism is really built upon a belief, a disbelief in human sin and a belief in innate human goodness. And that's why it doesn't work, because it's a system that denies sin and it funds the wolves. Capitalism, or rather we should just call it the American system. I don't particularly like the term capitalism because it's too narrowly defined. But the American system requires personal moral and economic responsibility and accountability which the ungodly, who do not want to work by the sweat of their brow, hate. They want a world where what belongs to others is given to them. The core sin of communism is a denial of property rights and a violation of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Intrinsic in the law of God is the right to personal property and economic ownership and self-determination. Now, many conservative commentators simply indict communism on the basis of it denying human nature, that communism never works in practice because it denies human nature. For example, Thomas Sowell, the black economist, wrote against communism, quote, "If there were a contest for the most stupid idea in politics, my choice would be the assumption that people would be evenly and randomly distributed in incomes, institutions, occupations, or awards in the absence of somebody doing something wrong. Political crusades, bureaucratic empires, and lucrative personal careers as grievance mongers have been built on the foundation of that assumption, which is almost never tested against any facts." And, you know, Americans learned this right from the beginning. Communism doesn't work. The Plymouth Colony tried to have a form of communism, but it failed. William Bradford wrote that the men complained that they had to spend their time working for other men's wives and children who are not carrying their own weight. This was thought to be an injustice, that everyone was to be ranked and equalized in labor and food and housing and clothing, and it was considered slavery. And the Plymouth Colony was probably the most Christian and most charitable community possible, and yet communism didn't even work there. But if we are to indict communism, we have to go beyond simply indicting the pragmatic implications. We must also point out that communism is wrong because it's morally wrong, regardless of the results. Because this new generation of socialist communists are actually acknowledging that communism will result in less stuff and a lower standard of living for everyone, but they're now claiming that's okay, because the moral virtue of equality is more important than more wealth for more people. So do you get it? But the actual crime and the moral failure in communism is actually the equality. It is greed renamed and redefined as equality and social justice. If you're greedy and you want to have others do the work for you, simply call your greed social justice, and your sin is justified in your mind and in the minds of others. Here's a key verse describing the spirit and the error of Marxism. Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. "Now Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him." In the words of Winston Churchill, socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. The core error is a belief that I should be economically equal with other people, rather than a belief in personal responsibility, accountability, and to work for one's own economic well-being. It doesn't matter what others have. We're responsible for our own work and our own provision. Furthermore, Karl Marx was a materialist, and he measured property and success by how much stuff people have, when Jesus taught the contrary. Jesus taught, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist in his possessions." Luke 12:15. It really doesn't matter how much money you have in comparison to others. The quality or the essence of your life is not based on how much money you have compared to others, as Karl Marx taught. Life is about doing what God calls us to do, regardless of the paycheck. And notice Jesus actually pointed out in Luke chapter 12 that there are various forms of greed that we need to be aware of, one of which is the philosophy that life consists in your possessions, your economic status, as in communism. So the sin of communism socialism is that people ought to be equal in possession regardless of their work. And since the Garden of Eden, when God said that man must work by the sweat of his brow, there have always been people trying to find their way out of having to work, trying to wiggle their way out of personal responsibility and accountability and make the whole society pay for their way and take their risk. The Philistines were evil in envying Isaac. If they wanted to be rich like Isaac, they needed to work just as hard and seek God's blessing. Joseph's brothers were evil in envying their brother Joseph. If they wanted a special coat like Joseph and the favor of their father, they needed to start living righteously. However, because of our sinful bent, it's so much easier to demand a moral and economic equality than to demand of oneself personal accountability. Here's a statement I came across last week that's kind of an epiphany. Quote, "Moreover, since the institution of the federal income tax over a century ago, at the birth of American progressivism, redistribution of wealth through heavy taxation of labor, income, and wealth, supported by Marxist-like class warfare political propaganda, is a central objective of the Democrat Party. Fortunately, it resonates today with a significant portion of the population," unquote. Well, here's the point. For the Democrat Party over the last century, the central objective has been equality, economic equality. But we also see this in their moral positions. There is also to be a moral equality for homosexuals, transgenders, and abortionists. That in order for life to be just, nobody should be socially impoverished, morally, by Christian moral positions. And this is really the way of Cain. Cain despised the fact that God didn't accept his offering, but that God considered Abel morally superior. And this equality of morals is now what is called cultural Marxism, where there is an equality to be had in morals and not just in economics. And there's a grievance in wanting moral equality. The ungodly want to do away with God's moral standards, so no one is judged for the quality of their work economically or judged morally based on their moral character. And this is the insidious ideology behind communism and socialism, equality. Satan said, "I will be like God, like the Most High." Communism is an alternative religion to Christianity. It's really the religion of Satan. And there's really only two religions in this world. You're either for Christ or for Satan. And these two religions express themselves in two different ways and two different worldviews and two different economic systems and two different foundations for law. And what we're experiencing in our country today is a counter-revolution to the American Revolution. People want to set up a communist moral and economic system. And the ungodly and unprincipled people favor that system. Now, our Declaration of Independence reads, "All men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with inalienable rights." The uneducated are easily deceived into believing that equality is therefore the basis for ethics and morals. But that's not what the Declaration is saying. Equality is the application of the law. It's never to be the basis for law. The law is to be applied equally, but the law is not equality. The law is those inalienable rights given to us from God. And if equality becomes the basis for law, then the murderer is equal with the non-murderer, the thief is equal to the laborer, and the liar is equal to the truth teller. You know, just take a minute and think about this, and it's obvious that equality cannot and should never be the basis for ethics, morals, and law. economically or socially. But unthinking, unprincipled people are easily fooled. And so there are proponents of economic Marxism pushing for economic equality, and now cultural social and Marxists pushing for moral relativism. Now, there's one more error in Marxism that needs to be pointed out. First was the pragmatic failures of Marxism. Second, and more important, is the violation of God's law under the guise of equality, equality becoming the basis for deciding what is morally right and wrong. The third error in communism is blaming the economic system for your problems. You will find that at the root of communism is a self-righteousness, where the communist socialists will always blame the system for their own dysfunction, economically or socially. Rather than, I am the sinner, I need to take responsibility, it's always, you're the victim, and you must overthrow your oppressors, because they are the reason for your problem. And this is the primary reason why Marxism stresses classism over individualism, so that one doesn't have to deal with one's own individual behavior, but can blame one's problems on the persecution of their class, their ethnic class, or their economic proletarian workers class, or their sexual orientation. The individual and his personal responsibilities and actions are sidestepped, and the individual identifies with an alleged oppressed and victimized group. To quote one commentator, of course, this formulation is especially seductive to the malcontents, disenchanted, disinfected, and dissatisfied. For them, individual liberty and capitalism exposes their own shortcomings and failings, and their difficulties and perhaps inability to function in an open society. Marxism provides a theoretical and institutional framework through which they can project their own limitations onto the system and the oppressors, rather than take responsibility for their own real or perceived plight. Unquote. And well said. And this is the sin of envy, greed, and shifting responsibility and blaming others, operating under the political religion of socialism, communism. And a very simple solution that undermines the whole foundation of communist thinking are evangelists like Jonathan Edwards or George Whitefield or D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or Billy Graham taking national stage and communicating to the public the message of personal repentance and conversion, that the problem is you. You're not a victim. You're the criminal. You're a sinner. And the answer to all of your problems is not the government forcing others to give you wealth, but the answer is in you changing your own personal character and behavior by turning to Christ and submitting to his holy ways. And hence, the convert to Christianity doesn't even think in terms of blaming the system or expecting equality. A people with a basic Sunday school education in the Bible would detect such an error a mile away, but this generation dies for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. But nevertheless, the Christian community must continue to proclaim the truth, because the only defense against the lie is God's truth. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.